Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation.
I'm Jim Burns. There are more pressures on a woman's time now more than I think ever before. Not that I'm a woman, but I continue to hear this from so many different women. As a result, many women find themselves emotionally drained and physically exhausted just trying to keep up with the demands of their jobs, sometimes their needy husbands, and their kids. Well, as her to-do list grows longer and longer, it's easy to see why a mom might feel as though her life is all about everything she has to get done throughout the day. But if that is how you are feeling right now, I can assure you that you matter more than you think. During the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Dr. Leslie Parrott on this most important subject. Leslie is a working wife and mom who found herself staring her 40th birthday in the face and wondering if her life had any worth or meaning. She spent the next year doing some pretty heavy soul searching, and she found out some pretty important things about her life, herself, and the most important relationships in a woman's life. So stay with us on Homeward, starting right now.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Roger Marsh here, working on my B-Soul stuff for Azusa Pacific, the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership. Encourage you to be a part of the program as well. If you want to learn more about it, go to apu.edu, or you can write me a note at roger@homeward.com, and we'll be happy to share with you my story of finishing my degree into my 50s as well. Today here on the program, a great Mother's Day conversation. Leslie Parrott. Dr. Leslie Parrott is a mom, she's a wife, she's a marriage and family therapist, and she's married to psychologist Dr. Les Parrott. No drama in their family, right? She's got a great message to share with us today on the topic, Mom, You Matter More Than You Think. And here with part one of that conversation is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and we're having a continuing conversation with Dr. Leslie Parrott. I'm smiling because I love this conversation, and frankly, I just appreciate so much all that Leslie Parrott is about. We're talking today about Mom, You Matter More Than You Think. As I said, it's a part two of a continuing conversation. Leslie Parrott is the co-director of the Center for Relationship Development at Seattle Pacific University, marriage and family therapist, award-winning author, and sought-after speaker, lives in the Seattle area with her husband, Les, and their children, and it's great to have you back on our program, Leslie.
Thank you. It is so much fun to be in this conversation about women's hearts with you. I love it.
Well,
you are such
you,
a good sport.
Well, you know what? I'm a good sport, but I also have, you know, a wife and three daughters, so I live with hormones and drama and women questions. We were talking before the program that my daughter, Christy, is just about ready to get married, and so we're now even talking about the weddings, and I just, you know, as a husband and a father, I just had no idea that there's just so much drama involved in this wedding stuff.
You didn't know what you were
stuff.
In for, did you?
I didn't. You know, people kept warning me, but I like being a dad of all girls, and I got used to going to the ballet recitals and pink tutus and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's an exciting time. But I also realize, and I think this is the same with young adolescent girls, is that there's a lot of pain. I think that the female gender struggles with just a whole lot of pain, and a lot of times they just don't have the ability to dream anymore because they're so brought down from whatever's going on in the society or playing the comparison game. Do you sense that?
You know what? I'm so glad you said that because I do. I think, first of all, we're pretty hard on ourselves, and then we do play the comparison game. And when we do it, we never choose anybody who's not quite as good as we are at something to compare ourselves with. We always choose the person when we're thinking of a trait that has that one down. You know, they're like the absolute measure by which everyone else, should do this excellent thing. And part of that is just the way women relate to ourselves and to each other. You know, we We are so focused on relationships. But you brought up this question about dreaming, and I think that is really important for us, because the older I get, the more significant I think this is. And I really talk about this in this book, and I call it Dream Venti. And let me just tell you about that, because, you know, here I am. I live in Seattle. And so, you know, it's not a surprise to anyone that I would love Starbucks. But I am quite a coffee person, and whenever I can grab a moment to myself, you know, I'll get in there, and I'll order the biggest drink you can order, which is a venti size, you know, with triple shots of espresso, and I'll take my Bible and my journal and my pen, and just that is bliss for me, to sit in a place like that where there are no demands on me and to think, and that's where some of my biggest dreams kind of emerge, when I'm able to listen to that whisper inside. And that's why I call it Dream Venti, because, you know, this sense of it, letting yourself be energized by dreams. And you're right, as women, we're not really taught how to dream sometimes as young women. And I was fortunate to have a mentor, and he really pushed me. You know, it was a man, which is interesting, and, you know, it was my first employer, and he sat me down one day, I was 21, and he said, you know, I'd like to see your 10-year plan. And I'm, like, looking around in the file drawers and thinking, you know, this is some document that they've got filed, and he's like, no. And he handed me a yellow pad of paper with lines on it. He said, I want you to think about your life. What will you be doing in 10 years? And I want you to come back when you're ready. Well, that assignment was life-changing for me, you know, and I began to just simply list some things. Now, the first stab I took at that, I came back to him, and he kind of had his coffee cup, put his feet up on his desk, and he leaned back, ready to hear some inspiring things. Well, I didn't have anything too inspiring. I said, you know, I want to help my husband through grad school, and I'd like to have kids, which, you know, I really dreamed about, and, you know, I'd like to live in a house someday instead of in this graduate apartment. And he kind of listened, and he said, you know, those are wonderful things to hope for in life, but, you know, is that really the difference you want to make? And I said, well, you know, come to think of it, no. You know, I feel like God might be calling me to something even beyond that. And he said, go out and take another stab at it. His dreaming for me and his pushing me to dream, you know, to use my imagination to see how God might use me in the world, absolutely changed my life.
Leslie, how do you do that? If you're perhaps there's a woman listening who, I mean, you know, she's got 3.1 kids, she's got a dog to take care of, and a husband that's not paying as much attention to her as she would hope, and, you know, that dream is kind of falling. And yet, you know, there were dreams at one time, but now it's getting by each day, trying to make the, you know, the car payment and the house payment and whatnot. What do you say to that person?
Well, first of all, I say, listen, you're in the majority, because most of us feel that way. And, you know, I've even reached that point in my life. And the truth is, most of us find ourselves there one way or the other. I mean, there's pain that comes with dreams that didn't come true, dreams we had to set aside because we needed to sacrifice those for other important people in our lives. And also, you know, dreams that maybe didn't happen because we made choices that closed the door to those. And it is not a pain-free thing to dream, but here's what I want to say. The eventual pain of not dreaming is so much more painful than dreaming and going for things. And even if we don't get what we dream for, these amazing happy accidents, you know, happen in our life as we're pursuing those things. And you know, here's the deal. I have so many women in my age bracket who say, you know what, it's just too painful for me to dream right now. And you know, if I was 20, I could do it. You know, then the whole world would be before me. But I have so many limitations, and it does take wisdom to know about timing when it comes to dreams. You know, and they say, if I was like those young 20-year-olds in your university classroom, and I say, you would be shocked to know that most of those young 21-year-old women are overwhelmed with their social life and, you know, can barely make it through the day, and very few of them have the energy for dreaming. And then, this is what's so fun, you know, we'll have these adult learners that have returned to the classroom, and they are energized. I mean, I remember the first day of one of my classes, and this adult learner who was over 50, And she's in the class, and we're all talking about, you know, our major. And she said, well, I'm back for the second time. And they said, well, what was your major the first time? And she said, I can't even remember. And they all just died laughing, you know. She's like, but it doesn't matter, because she knew what her new dream was. And it is so fun to see people energized by that dream. And let me just use one example. I'm not, you know, when it comes to women making a difference, sometimes I think we miss the difference we can make because we think we have to define this dream in terms that are a little bit more male. I don't want to, I'm not trying to stereotype, but, you know, we think, but for women, so many times our dreams are personal. You know, it's just a real personal thing. My friend Debbie, she had a dream because she grew up in a single-parent family. She wanted to, she's a pastor's wife now, and she wanted to help single moms. Well, she, you know, we were talking about this. She literally, one day, we hung up from praying together about that dream. She went to a women's Bible study at her church, and it turns out that this young woman at her table was a brand new mom, single. She stood up in front of the group, and she, with this young woman's permission, and she said, you guys, my lifetime dream has always been to help a single mom. And she said, in this room today, you guys have the chance to make my dream come true. And she interviewed her, and she said, what do you need? There are 100 women around, you know, round tables. She said, do you have a crib? And the young mommy said, no, you know, I don't. I'm just using this little bassinet thing. And so she said, who in this room has a crib you don't need? Someone raised their hand. By the end of that day, they had her outfitted with a crib, a rocking chair, clothes. They had people committed to doing mommy day outs one day a week for the next 3 months so she could sleep or, you know, just go get a cup of coffee or do anything else. And Debbie was absolutely energetic. I've never seen anyone with such high energy because this was her dream. You know, it doesn't have to be a dream where we cure some disease or something, you know. And these are the kind of dreams that energize women's lives.
Right, and those are practical and they're so helpful. When we come back, I want to talk about a dream that's in most women's lives, and that's the dream of motherhood and the dream of really making a difference as a mom. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. Dr. Leslie Parrott with us. Mom, you matter more than you think, and I hope that this conversation is helping you realize how much you do matter, not only to your family, but to God as well. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
Great pre-Mother's Day conversation here today on the Homeward broadcast with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Leslie Parrott. Mom, you matter more than you think is our theme. If you missed any part of this program, remember we always stream audio at homeward.com. Several thousand people every month are streaming audio along with us. It's a great way to consume the media, as they like to say, to listen to the program. And there's no cost for that either. There's no subscription fee whatsoever involved in that. Now, the reason we're able to offer our audio streams for free and our articles and media section, tip sheets for free, the good advice parent newsletter, daily online devotional, homeward culture brief. You start to see a pattern here. The reason we're able to do this without cost is because of your faithful financial support. We can't do it without you. If you can include a gift today, we would love to hear from you. A gift of $50, $75, $100 or more, addressed to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now let's get back into it. The conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Dr. Leslie Parrott here on Homeward.
I'm Jim Burns. We're talking with Dr. Leslie Parrott today. Mom, you matter more than you think is what we're talking about. She's written an excellent book called You Matter More Than You Think. It's a book for women to understand that, you know what, you're going to have to go through some pain. You can learn to have gratitude in the midst of pain, and you can dream. And oftentimes those dreams, I find a lot of times with women, the dreams are about being a mom. A lot of the listeners here on Homeward are moms who see motherhood as an area that they want to make a big difference in their life. And yet, again, moms sometimes struggle with the thought that, I could be doing more, or my kids aren't perfect, or my family isn't perfect. Leslie, how do you respond to that when a mom is just saying, you know what, this was my dream to be a mom, and now, you know, my kids are struggling, my marriage is struggling. How do you respond to them when they say that?
Well, you know, I love this question because this is where I'm actually living right now. You know, if you were to push me, which I have been pushed in this process about what are my dreams now, you know, here I am post 40, and I've got a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old. And, you know, my dreams really do revolve around my little guys right now. And it's just the character qualities that I eventually hope to see in them, which are not always evident in my own life, you know, even on a daily basis. So I think somehow how are they ever going to get there if I can't manage to model it, you know? Right. And it's pretty discouraging. But I actually think the most important, you know, thing about my life of all, and, you know, that's one of the things you, at the start of our conversation together, when we were talking about this whole idea of, you know, what is it about my life that matters? You know, I ask myself every day, you know, can someone else go teach some group on a platform somewhere? Absolutely. Will my boys ever have another mom? Never. I am the one, you know, and that's what, and frankly, that's why it's so humbling to try to make a difference, because I know how important it is, and I know I can see clearly how, on this daily basis, how hard it is to live up to that dream.
Well, you know, it's a great thought, because a lot of times, you know, our kids, especially kids your age at 4 and 9, I mean, they're loving and they're wonderful, but they're not walking up saying, hey, thanks for all the work you're doing for me, Mom.
But you know, have to infer the gratitude for
exactly.
the most part.
And, you know, my mom passed away several years ago, but I was telling Cindy, my assistant, yesterday a story about my mom, and I realized there was a tear in her eye, and then I started to cry, and I just thought, you know what? I wish I would have had the maturity and wisdom to be able to tell my mom how much of a difference she had made in my life.
Okay, every listener in your audience is in tears right now.
Right. A lot of times we look at it and say, well, it's not all that important, because people are going to ask us, you know, ask a mom, you know, well, what do you do? And you tell a great story about Peggy Campolo and how she responds to the question, what do you do?
Yes, I love that. You know, because here she is. She's so savvy. She's in a phase of her life where she's really focused on being home full-time with her kids. And I do quote her in the book. I love it because, you know, tongue-in-cheek, of course, she answers this question that you always get, that awkward question, when someone doesn't know you well. And what is it that you do? You know, and they drop that question, and you think, oh, you know, here it goes. And so her response was to say, you know, I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. I mean, I can't even use those words in my vocabulary. But, you know, don't you love that? You know, and then she follows by, and what is it that you do? And I love her point, though, right. You know, that what we're doing is transformational.
Right.
It's huge, but for the most part, it's hard for us to even see that. You know, I just talked to a mom of little twins yesterday, and her thing to me, she said, you know, I try to keep it, you know, the chaos down a little bit, but she's like, you know, I feel some days like if I have to pick up that same pillow, you know, I picked it up and put it back on the couch 5 times already today, you know? And, you know, she said, some of the stuff just feels so repetitive, I think I'm going to go crazy.
Right.
And but that is profound when it's done out of this heart of love.
Right. You're so right. You know, our daughter, Christy, when she was 17 and getting ready to go to Point Loma Nazarene University, we were actually hoping she could get in a little early because she was driving us crazy. And I'm kind of saying that with my tongue in cheek, sort of. And it's amazing how much she now appreciates mom and dad as she's graduated and she's gotten older and she has more maturity. And she'll even say things about Kathy and saying, gosh, I just didn't appreciate all those, you know, routine type things you did. I mean, that builds Kathy's life up, you know, like crazy.
Oh, listen, that, you're giving hope to all of us mothers who are not in that phase of life yet where we can hope to hear those kinds
of
words.
Right, it's the proverb that says, you know, train up a child in the way that they would go and they will return. Doesn't say that they're going to appreciate it all the while.
Well, you know, I love it that you're talking about kids. And there's this little, you know, kindergarten class that I found out about, and they were trying to put on a play for the parents because, you know, it's parents' night. And so the teacher thought, well, we'll do a classic fairy tale, and they chose Cinderella. And so, you know, all the kids in the class kind of chose their parts, and everyone's kind of included. But there's this one little boy, Norman, and he wasn't particularly social, not quite able to connect as easily, and, you know, just a little bit different. And so she realized all of a sudden, oh, you know, Norman didn't step up and take a part, and there really wasn't another part. So she thought, well, you know, she's a wonderful teacher. She said, Norman, you can be anything you want. What do you want to be? And he said, I want to be the pig. And she's like, Norman, there's not a pig in Cinderella. And he said, there is now. So she thought, well, okay, whatever. You know, she's just glad he had picked something. So they started rehearsing, and what he would do was just kind of be hover around the main characters and just follow them around the stage. And so everywhere that Cinderella went and the prince went, he would just go along, and then his face would just kind of reflect the emotion of the moment. Well, then at the end, where, you know, there's this happily ever after, he kind of stood up on his hind legs, now that he's being a little pig, and he barked. And the teacher's like, Norman, you know, even if there were a pig in Cinderella, pigs don't bark. And he says, well, they do now. So you can only imagine, you know, she's like a little flustered with it, but she doesn't want to make him feel bad. Well, the night of the play, of course, you know who the total star of the show is.
Exactly.
The parents are just absolutely enraptured. And it turns out this little guy is kind of the little Cinderella in the story after all. And I love the story about the barking pig so much because, you know, so many of us as women spend our lives kind of waiting for someone to invite us, or waiting for our place to be revealed to us, or, you know, whether we think God needs to reveal that or another person needs to call that out. And, you know, I love this because, you know, Norman just, he was the barking pig. And, you know, we can be that. We can step in and say, well, there is now. You know, there's a place now. I can offer this. Or we can invite some other little barking pig to have a place in life. And I think as women, when we do that, we let people sort of just be authentic and be the thing that they dream, there is so much joy that results in that. And that's just, I love that for all the reasons that, you know, I want us to do that for our children. And I want us to do that for ourselves.
Well, that is actually a great story. And, you know, in many ways, what you're saying is that our circumstances may not change, but our attitude can change. That makes all the difference in the world.
That's right. There is now.
I appreciate so much you being with us. Dr. Leslie Parrott with us today. And you know what? I think this has been a great day as we think about the fact that you as a woman, if you're listening, and also as a man who's listening to this, you know that you are making a difference. And sometimes it doesn't happen right at that moment, but it happens over time. And so, again, a great day for us to be able to have Dr. Leslie Parrott with us. Leslie, thanks so much for being with us.
My absolute pleasure.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Leslie Parrott here on the Homeward Broadcast. She's written a book called You Matter More Than You Think. And, Mom, this is for you, especially here on Mother's Day weekend. If you'd like to learn more about Leslie's work, go to homeward.com, or you can just go to lesandleslie.com for the website of Dr. Les Parrott and his wife, Dr. Leslie Parrott. And, of course, Homeward also provides for you audio CDs if you'd like one of the program. Just write to us at Homeward, P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, zip code 92693. We'll send you a CD of today's broadcast as our way of thanking you for your tax-deductible donation of any amount in support of our ministry. We truly appreciate your faithful financial support. Write to us, call us today.
My thanks again to Leslie Parrott for, I think, a great conversation on the value of a woman in many ways. I'm so grateful for her telling her story of kind of soul-searching in her own life, as well as reconnecting with her dad after an affair ended his 35-year marriage to her mom. That's a tough one. And as she was relating that story, I couldn't help but think of what Leslie's mom must have been going through at that very moment. I mean, just think about the scenario. It's the day of your 35th wedding anniversary, and your pastor husband comes home, and she might have been expecting a bouquet of flowers anniversary card, but instead she gets her life ripped out from under her instead. No one ever said being a wife and a mother would be easy, but based on the way Leslie has weathered the storm of her parents' divorce, I'd have to say that her mother deserves a lot of credit for showing Leslie at an early age that her own value was not found in her marriage, but in her relationship with God. And I think that's a very important comment. You know, my own mom was one of those incredible, remarkable women. She had a way of making everyone feel special. And in many ways, I think that is what made her special as well. She died, and I now regret that I didn't spend more time telling her how grateful I was for all that she sacrificed for us. She was an incredible welcoming person where she would welcome my friends and welcome the whole baseball team. As a young person, I just didn't take the time to say, Mom, I appreciate you and I love you and you have blessed me so much. And so if you happen to be listening today and you need that blessing, may I give that to you. But also if you're one of the many men or women who need to tell your mom how much you appreciate her, I hope you will do that today as well. And if you're a mom listening right now, I want you to know how much you matter to the people who are most important to you, especially to your kids. Parenting is an exercise in delayed gratification, so please know that sometimes it might not feel as though you're making a difference in the lives of your children, but believe me, you are.
Mm-hmm. And amen to that. And as Dr. Jim Burns has written in so many of his different books, if you look at his parenting seminars, the ways that we communicate that love from between parents and children is so very, very important. Jim did a number of years worth of research on this topic of what really makes a family a solid family. And he's established these 10 building blocks. He's written about them in a book called 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. And you can order it anywhere. You can buy that book anywhere. All of Jim's books are in print and in stores. But if you order directly from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. It's a great way for you to get a resource and understanding that a portion, not all of it, but a portion of the cost of the book that Jim has written goes to supporting the ministry of Homeward. So if you buy one of Jim's books from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. It's tax deductible to you. We encourage you to check us out online today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.